This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 5th, episode 1580, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Well, it's Monday morning, everybody, and we bring you the holiday hits that Jamie so loves, like this one.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Morning, Jamie.
Walking home from our house
it's
Christmas
just,
Eve.
It's just like you to do
oh,
that.
Oh, it's not
there's
over.
No such thing as Santa.
We got more.
Yay!
And another Jennings favorite.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
We all know how you love hippopotamuses.
Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy.
And who could forget Jamie's all-time favorite Christmas song? And by special request of the auditors.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey, jingity jing.
How is this
the
a Christmas
Italian
song?
Christmas donkey.
Happy Christmas Monday, everybody.
La 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 la.
Good morning, everybody. You can thank me later, Jamie. Thank me later.
How are those Christmas songs? And why are we still playing songs on the radio from 1942? God.
Because they're classics. They're so good.
There's like a billion new Christmas songs, and you still hear those on the dang radio. Or when you walk into a store.
To torment you. That's why. To torment you. What? Well, I have something serious to start the show with today.
Oh, no.
Yes. I know it's Monday and everything, and, you know, nobody wants anything serious on Monday, but I have to issue an apology on the air.
I have to
apologize to my partner of 1,500 episodes, Jamie, who I really messed with on Friday. There's this thing called mix minus in when you're in the podcasting and radio world, and it has to do with your mixer. And what it does is if you don't have the mix minus correct, it sends sound in a very unusual and very mentally disturbing way back to the original person. So the entire show on Friday, Jamie was hearing the show she was hearing the show in a very unusual and very mess with your mind way. Mix minus, the fact that you got through a whole hour and a half show with the mix minus wrong is incredible. And then I have to apologize because I had the setting wrong and I didn't realize it. And then I have to apologize because she kept complaining in our little chat the whole show that something was wrong. And I just kept telling her to shut up, that apparently she was still hungover or drunk from the night before.
I believe your exact response was, the listeners say I sound fantastic, and the listeners win.
That's right.
This is what you typed to me.
That's right, and that is true, except I didn't realize that you were getting mixed minds. The fact that you weren't crazy after the show is something.
You should have heard what I said about you after the show.
Sorry.
I'm going back through our chat. Glenn, you're too loud. I am good for listeners, so you turn your volume down. I said, you're talking over me. You're too loud in your own headphones, I think. I had an issue with the recorder, but I wonder if it's your problem. You have a delay. Jen, do you think he's too loud? Sorry, listeners win. He sounds fine here. I go, that sounded okay? Does he break up when he's talking and to you?
I don't remember if we had a guest on Friday. I don't know who we had as a guest on Friday, but whoever we had as a guest on Friday was hearing the same thing as you. So
I said, Glenn, try backing off your mic. You wrote, screw you guys.
I was so sick of dealing with tech issues on Friday. I was like, I just couldn't handle one more problem on Friday because we'd had problems all week. And this wasn't the problem we had all week either. So,
and it turns out that I'm not crazy.
No, you were absolutely right. There was an issue. It was this one dial. See, if I turn this one dial back this
don't
way.
Don't do it. Don't do
then
it.
Then you get us mixed.
Oh, God. I can hear my own echo.
Yes,
that's crazy.
Yes.
It's really painful.
Yes.
Well, good. I'm glad you figured it out. I was going to quit If that sounded like Monday.
You were only going to quit after that one episode.
I sound amazing, so I don't care what you say.
It's been a long week, you have to admit. I had done, what, almost 40 hours of programming that week, so I apologize. I'm sorry. You had a right to be upset.
Thank you. My husband is like, wow, you hate that guy. I was like, I don't know what's wrong. I'm just in a bad mood. I don't know. I feel like my skin is itching. For those who didn't hear it, seriously, it makes you crazy. Well, and I didn't know what it was
called. Anybody listening would realize that Jamie was having an issue with something and probably couldn't recognize what, that there was definitely a delay or something. The whole show seemed messed up, and that's why.
And the whole, this is all like, we're going to play the episode of Chad, and I'm going to talk over it, and we're going to talk about it. And I was like, I can't.
She wasn't really hearing him right either. So, all right. Well, we'll just forget Friday ever happened and start over. It's Monday.
Okay, good times. Yay, Monday. Woohoo.
And I play those songs to get you in a good mood just to start.
Mm-hmm. You're a giver.
I am. I am a giver. Look what I do for you. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, breaking from the gate. Woohoo! We chat with a trio of dedicated horse gals who are doing their part to reduce the number of unwanted horses in the world by taking off some parts. And then next up, Dr. Gordon Chang is going to stop by with some helpful advice on preventative care for your horse. And then after the break, the Wacky World of Horse Station drops the bar down to short stirrup level. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, time for Daily Whinnies. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to Megan Small. I wanted to thank you for your gift. I can't tell anybody what it is because there's a part of that gift that is heading out to Jamie at this very moment. So she sent gifts for all of us, and we got ours, and she sent yours to us. So we have now mailed it forward. So I can't say what it was, but it was really cool, and thank you for your thoughtfulness and your very kind note that was in with it. We really appreciate it. And you'll know what it is at the end of the week, Jamie.
Okay. Right. There's something really beautiful that happened here over the weekend. That is, I would like to say congratulations to the two owls like the birds,
like the
that
birds.
found each other and are madly in love with each other, and they sat, one sat in the front of my house and one sat in the back of my house, and we have palm trees in the front and the back, and one sat in the front palm tree and one sat in the back palm tree, and they call to each other all night all freaking night long. Mr. Hootie in the front, whoo whoo whoo, and Mrs. Hootie in the back, whoo woohoo, all freaking night long on Saturday night, to the point where it's cold outside and I go outside in my little short pajamas I'm plucking
a slingshot. Did you have a slingshot?
I'm plucking oranges off the tree and I'm throwing them at palm trees.
I wish somebody had a video of that.
The two owls will not stop freaking hooting for me to get just 15 minutes of sleep. And like you like to say, you love that you have a spouse who can sleep through anything. Not this. I actually was like, get up and help me. Do you not hear that? It's Maggie goes, they're owls. I'm like, your arm is better than mine. Throw it at the palm tree. And he's like, I'm not throwing oranges at owls. I'm like, you'll throw the orange and you'll like it. I'm losing my mind. It won't stop.
See, if you were in our neighborhood, you'd have your shotgun out there at 3 a.m. shooting at them. That's going to be our neighborhood.
So I started doing some research.
Yes.
And as a general rule, owls are monogamous. And neither one has involvement with other nesting birds. So the good news is they're very territorial. And it is most likely that they're going to nest and have babies somewhere right around here.
Well,
which is fan-frickin-tastic.
We have 1,000 owls that live in our neighborhood. And these are the hooty owls, not the screech owls, right?
I don't know what they are, but they hooted. Oh, they hooted. All
okay. Well, screech owl sounds like somebody's torturing a child. And when they go at it, and there's two of them right outside your window, you sit up straight in bed, and your hairs are on end. They just have this screech that sounds like a child's being tortured. So you can be glad that those two aren't outside your window.
Well, I did read that continuing on, the good news is that owls, you know, where they're born, they kind of stick around and that they are ready to reproduce about a year after they hatch. So in about a year, I could have 4 to 8
You'll
of these
little
family.
Owls.
We're going to have some sort of like seismic testing going on that day. I'm like, I don't know what happened. We just have to.
All right. Here,
all. Anyway,
here
all
I have
day.
I have the. Oh, apparently they're only in the east. This is a screech owl. I have it on YouTube.
Kurt Reservoir.
Let's see if he actually says something here. This is a screech owl calling. Maybe. Okay, he's sticking his head out, but he's not saying anything. Okay, what good is a YouTube video with no sound? Sorry, no screech owl. But yeah.
It's okay. I didn't need to hear another owl. I'm just fine with the ones that I heard. Oh my God, it was insane. It was insane all night long. All they did was talk to you. And I was like, I was leaning out the door. I'm like, I'm glad you found each other. Now shut up.
Hey, I have some announcements to get the show started here today, this week. First of all, by popular demand, we are going, we do take time off during the holidays. And by popular demand, we are going to put all the voicemails. Many people said, can we put all the voicemails in one episode that we played on Radiothon so they're all right in a row? And we're going to do that, and we're going to play that show on all of our shows the week before Christmas.
Good. So, I was going to say, nobody wants to hear Christmas music after Christmas.
Right. So we're going to play that the week before. And we are going to do an all-host show. All the hosts discussed it. And we decided, even with Radiothon, people seem to like the all-host show. So we are going to do an all-host show like we have for the last 8 years. And we're going to put that out the week between Christmas and New Year's. On all the
feeds. It almost didn't happen, people.
Yeah, we had a vote to see if people wanted to do it because Radiothon is a lot of work for everybody, mostly me. And they all want to do the all-host show because they all like getting together. So we're going to do that.
And
this year we got, because it is the year of the listener, we got questions from the auditors, and we're going to ask those questions for the all-host show this year. So,
nice.
Couple other things. One is you've all been bugging me about our deal as far as a hotel for Road to the Horse and for Rolex. And we do have it finalized finally. I'm sorry for the delay, but we have a new hotel this year. It's the Fairfield Inn and Suites North in Lexington. It's right off of 64 and Newtown Pike. Anybody that knows where that is, there's an exit there. There's a couple of hotels right off the exit. There's a Subway and a gas station right there. The Cracker Barrel is right there off that exit. It's the road that you take the back way out to the horse park, literally, what, Jamie, 3-4 miles from the horse park?
Yeah, if that.
Yeah. And it is the Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott, so it's very nice. They are very nice rooms. It's just been totally remodeled. We didn't have a great experience at the hotel we were at last year, and that's why we wanted to upgrade a bit. And so this is the deal. It's not as inexpensive as last year, I will tell you that, but it's a much nicer hotel. For Road to the Horse, their regular rates are $165. We got it down to $120 a night. So for Road to the Horse, if you want to stay there, where we'll be staying, you can just give them a call you can find it by just looking for Fairfield Inn and Suites North. There's a couple of those in Lexington. It's the north one. And you can remember, you know you have the right place because it's on Hackney Road. So just think of My Pony Scooter and you'll know you're in the right place. So it's $120. Just use the, when you call in, just say it's the Early Bird Road to the Horse special, and they will give you the $120 rate. Now, for Rolex, it's $199 a night, but their regular rate for Rolex is $265. So we're down almost 25%, and it's $190 a night. So use the same thing, Early Bird Rolex Experience. They have a very limited number of rooms at these rates because they sell out anyway.
How many people can we cram in one room?
Well, that's, I know a lot of the auditors are talking about sharing rooms. It's a good idea. And I know a lot of people do that at Rolex anyway. They get a little bit nicer room that way. So you can do that and share rooms. So it's $199 early
like how
bird
many
Rolex
how many
experience.
Keys are you how many keys are you going to need for your room? 47.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners.
We're going to need 47 keys for one room.
Can you fit in the room, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cribs are fine. We'll put somebody in the crib. Don't care.
The small people in the crib. So that's the Fairfield Inn and Suites in Lexington, and that's by Marriott. You can search for that, and you'll find it. We'll post a link to it on our Auditor Facebook page and also on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page and the Horse Radio Network Facebook page. Today, I'll post all of those. One other thing is something I was listening to another podcast. It's called The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson. And Dave called into Radiothon, and we've actually talked to him. He's going to be here in my studio in a couple of weeks. Guess what? They're coming back. They have to retake some of the footage for the movie The Messengers. So in 2 weeks, you're going to be here, actually. In 2 weeks, they're coming into the studio again to do more filming. And Dave Jackson happens to be in Florida. He's going to be along, so he's going to sit in with us. So that should be a fun show. But on The School of Podcasting, that came out yesterday, his episode, I heard the following. He does this, well, I'll explain it.
We're doing a podcast glossary. The idea here is to help eliminate some of the jargon that people just spew.
About podcasting.
I was married to a nurse, and she would come home and say things like it was in a completely different language. And I realized sometimes we can do that as podcasters. We start spewing out this stuff. And I just wanted to go through every week, pick out a letter and go over them. And there are only a couple here in the G. The other G I want to talk about is Glenn the Geek Hebert. That's right. Glenn he's in the G's. He has to be. He runs the Horse Radio Network, and he's doing a great job getting advertisers on his show. Now, he gets his sponsors to help promote his show and other actions. And so probably a couple months ago, I was talking with Jim Collison of TheAverageGuy.tv. He's my co-host for the Ask the Podcast Coach show, which you can find at AskThePodcastCoach.com. Jim had gone through and gotten a custom app built for his show. And I said, really? And I said, how'd you go about doing that? He said, oh, it's easy. I Glenn the Geeked it. So Glenn is not only a person and a noun, but he's a verb. And what Jim meant by that is he got a sponsor.
I'm a verb.
Oh, that's so wonderful, baby. Congratulations.
I've never been a verb. Well, I've been a verb before, but it was never good. So now it's at least a positive way.
Did you know?
I've had my people use my name in vain, but not a good way.
Did you know that was going to happen?
No.
Or did you?
No,
were
I was
you
just listening to the show. It's like, I'm a verb.
How funny. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Appreciate being a verb. Now, I was on Facebook yesterday, and I saw you. I went by this picture quickly on my phone. I was just scrolling. And I see this picture of a stunt woman and standing on a horse. You know, and you see that a lot because the stunt people like to stand on horses. And then I realized the stunt woman was none other than you. You're apparently practicing for a new career.
I didn't tell you this because I got a horse in training here. His name is Zion, and his rider and owner are here boarding for a little while to get some work done. And I didn't tell you about it because they're like normal, nice people, and the horse is like normal, nice, off the track thoroughbred. So there's nothing to talk about. So yeah, I was riding him yesterday, and Chad's out there, and he's got his phone. I was like, hey, quick, take my picture. And I spent a couple seconds just getting him used to me being up there. And then I stood on him. The good news is it's not without being an idiot, because I think I pulled a groin doing that.
Down or up?
I think it was standing there, because balancing one foot on each side of an English saddle is not awesome.
I was impressed, though. You were actually, and you didn't, it's not like you had these limber boots on. You had like country boots on.
I'm an Ovation commercial standing on a horse. Ovation helmet, Ovation boots.
Yep, you are. We need to send that one to them, actually. Well, was that the first attempt or was that like the 65th attempt? I do need to know that.
First time, baby. Just first time. You know, there's a girl named Joanna that is Monty Roberts' personal assistant. And they go and they do these demonstrations all over the world. And she kind of helps him with a lot of the riding and stuff. And she posts pictures all the dang time of her standing on a horse, like in front of a crowd. So I thought, it's my turn. I'm going to give it a go.
You're going to be working the rodeo before long. You'll be out there with your American flag hanging off the side of the horse at full gallop.
Roman riding with my two Mustangs. Oh, that's what I
there
want.
There you go. You and Guy McLean. You can get lessons from Guy.
Wouldn't that be cool?
or the double dance. I mean, either one.
I'm in.
Tommy Turvey, here you come. Competition.
I just stood on a horse. I don't know why it possessed me to do that, but it was fun. And I thought you were going to talk about the fact that I got new chickens.
Oh, yes. You got some wild new chickens. Tell us about your new chickens.
I did.
While you're talking about that, go ahead. You can talk about it. Tell us about your new chickens, Amy.
You want me to talk while the song is playing?
You bet.
Okay. I don't know if I can. Here, just let it play for a second, then you got to turn it off.
Okay, tell us about the chickens.
The chickens, I'm a member of this Facebook page called the Arizona Backyard Chickens, as of course I am. Jennifer just typed a little of that song goes a long way.
There's
I agree.
10 hours of it on YouTube if you really want.
Yeah. So I saw these pictures of these baby chickens. And when we went to get my birthday chickens, I wanted these silky chickens. And it's called a silky. And it's like the cutest thing ever. And so the silky chicken was available. So I go to the chicken store to get this silky chicken. And I pick it up. And they're like, oh, by the way, that one just started crowing. And I was like, holding it like a baby. I was like, no, I love it. I love it so much. I don't want
didn't
it to
you
grow.
Just get rid of your roosters?
Exactly. So I didn't buy it.
Well, the owls and the roosters could have a conversation.
I know. Well, speaking of, I'll get back to that. When I saw these, somebody had some babies. So I went and bought some babies. And of course, you know, you can't buy just one because what if something happens to one? So I had to buy a two of each color. So they have a friend. And the chicken thing, when two owls, because we have one rooster, we kept one because Chad loves him and he's huge and he's like probably like a 10 pound chicken. He's a monstrous. I'll take a picture of him and post him later. The chicken, the rooster, what they do is they protect their flock, and they typically protect their flock from overhead birds. So when the owl was hooting back and forth, in between that, the chicken rooster was crowing because he's trying to protect his girls. So it was like owl, owl, rooster, owl, owl, rooster, owl, owl, rooster, owl, rooster, owl. I'm like, I've got to kill something.
It is annoying. We've had that here where the owls actually get, you know, descend right outside our window on prey right outside our bedroom window. And if you don't think that'll wake you up at night, that'll really wake you up at night.
The screaming.
Because now everybody's screaming. It's like, okay, that's not good. That's not good at all. So so does that mean your chicken count has now passed your saddle pad count?
Oh my God, I got to do. Oh, see, here's the other thing is I have to do a recount of the saddle pads because I was talking to the girls and they were like, did you count that stack? And there's like a corner stack of lesson saddle pads.
Okay.
So I have to do an official recount and I'll have that for you Wednesday.
All right, good. I'm glad.
Because it might have, I don't know. It's going to be close.
You had more saddle pads than chickens, so we should still be ahead on the saddle pad, shouldn't we?
I don't know. I'm just, the numbers have adjusted. I got more chickens and I found more saddle pads. So I don't know which is more. So I'm going to do a final count.
I wanted to also give a shout out this morning while we're waiting for our first guests here. I wanted to give a shout out this morning to one of our auditors, Joy, who had a horse come up with an abscess over the weekend. And this isn't in the foot. It's in the mouth. She said her horse's mouth swelled up like crazy. The vet came out and the horse wasn't eating and they have an abscess. And also the vet thinks the horse may have been kicked and have a crack in its jaw. So they're going to be checking on that. So we want to give her our best. And I know you had a situation on Friday night. By the way, these things never happen during the day when the vet's not on emergency call. You had a situation with a colic on Friday night. Which horse was that? Oh, did we lose Jamie?
I'm back.
Okay.
Here I am. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So you're talking about the abscess. So I dropped out when it said the horse had been kicked.
Yes, that was Joy, one of our auditors. So I was just giving her our best for her horse.
Yeah, this poor little thing. Oh my gosh, that's just the worst. Just the worst. I had a little issue with a horse over the weekend too, and we're going to talk about it when I get Dr. Chang on the line. And it just there's just nothing sadder than a sick horse. Just, it breaks your heart.
I know. And I know we have a couple of listeners going through sick horses right now that I've seen posting. And I don't know if it's the time of year. It just seems to be more of it going on right now.
Why we're talking to Dr. Chang about preventative
about
care.
Preventative care. Right. Exactly. And what we can do with that. So we're going to be talking to him in a little bit. I think we're still waiting here, Jamie, for our first guest. To get lined up. Leslie is coming on today, and I want to read to you what she said. Of course, Leslie comes on once a week with us. She's from Horse Nation. Everybody knows Leslie Wiley. That's a regular listener to the show. But this is the email I got this morning. She said, "Oh boy, do I have a big old bomb to drop on you guys tomorrow. Tee-hee, big news in the land, oh Leslie." So, I asked people for speculation, and so far, all I've gotten is baby. That she's pregnant.
Yeah.
So because that's where everybody goes, right? When a 20 something or 30 something says they have big news, everybody goes to baby. Now I doubt
I'm gonna go anti baby because it's always baby. I want something different.
Well, and now I just got a follow-up email because I emailed back to her and said, okay, now I'm really worried. And she just responded, "You should be. I'm a little worried myself."
Oh, no, that says baby.
That says baby all over it, doesn't it? And her pony's a mare, right?
Yes,
yeah, princess, but I don't think the pony came to her. It's a sport pony. I don't think the pony came to her pregnant. So I don't think we're going there. I don't think she would actually take her pony out of competition that long.
Yeah, but she didn't buy it. Maybe it was pregnant when she bought it.
Well, that and could now be. That's like, happened to us a few times. Oops.
The mare's going to have a baby. Like, we got to get out of baby. That'd be something else.
I don't know what it is. I really don't. I have no idea. So let's see here. I think we have our guests on the line. So do you want to introduce them?
I do. We've got three guests that we're going to talk to today, Lacey, Kay, and Jennifer. And I'm going to start with Jennifer because Jennifer is the director of the Unwanted Horse Coalition. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about what the Unwanted Horse Coalition is, and then we'll bring in the other girls.
Sure, absolutely. So the UHC grew out of the Unwanted Horse Summit, which was organized by the American Association of Equine Practitioners and held in conjunction with the American Horse Council's meeting in Washington, D.C. back in April of 2005. And the purpose was to bring together some key stakeholders from different multiple industry organizations to start a dialogue about the plight of the unwanted horse. And its purpose was to develop some consensus on effective ways to work together and start to address the issue. So as a result, 2006, the UHC was born, and the mission is to reduce the number of unwanted horses and improve their welfare through education and industry collaboration.
Okay, so what are some of the things, blanket, that the Unwanted Horse Coalition does to try to reduce the number of unwanted horses?
Great. Well, we started out in our first several years really working on the education side of things and trying to promote responsible horse ownership, trying to promote responsible breeding. We provide a comprehensive list of resources, typically like the safety net programs that are available to help assist owners and the rescue organizations that are out there. And of course, then what we're going to be talking about today is the Operation Gelding program. And that started in 2010. And that's more of a sort of a hands-on, very measurable program where we can make a difference in by castrating stallions that are typically not fit to be bred, shouldn't be, trying to encourage responsible breeding and help these owners so that we don't have unwanted horses in the first place.
This is right now, up your alley there, Jamie.
Oh, you're singing a beautiful song in my world, okay? So that's why I wanted to have you introduce Lacey and Kay, and let's talk to them a little bit about it because they're very involved with the Operation Gelding.
Yes, they are. In fact, you know, I haven't actually met them face to face, and I get to at their clinic on December 17th. So I'm very excited about that. But they have been hosting clinics since we started in 2010. This is their sixth clinic. And I am super excited because they're the first set of organizers that we've had that are going to be reaching their 100 stallion gelded mark.
Oh my God, 100 brain surgeries. What are you guys doing? This is awesome. All right. So Lacey and Kay, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. And as Glenn mentioned, this may be my favorite thing ever as gelding clinics where you geld horses that need it. And so talk to us a little bit about what do you guys do?
We basically just receive money from the Unwanted Horse Coalition, and we have a vet that volunteers her time, and we advertise for months, and we set up times for horses all in one day, and we have up to 20 spots, and each year we geld 20 stallions. So up to date, we have 86. Sometimes people don't show up, but most of them are rescues and things like that that come in. Pretty much it.
Gotcha. Okay. So who was that just talking? Sorry, I didn't.
Sorry, I'm Lacey.
Lacey. Okay. So Lacey, you guys basically get once a year, you geld up to almost 100. That's fantastic. Now talk to us. How do people find out where they can go to get their horse gelded?
We started out when I was really young in 4-H, and everybody in the club took flyers to local feed stores, and we hung them up, and people started calling, and we set up times. But now we have a Facebook page and newspaper ads and things like that. So people just find us, and they say, hey, I have a gelding or stud that needs to be gelded, and we set them up.
Fantastic. And now, so Kate, what do you do with the organization? And you guys are in the North Texas area, right?
Yes, we are. I am actually Lacey's mother. Oh. And Lacey began Operation Gelding when she was just 13. She is now the ripe old age of 19. And I basically just back her up now that she's in college. I help with setting up the appointments and pretty much help on the Operation Gelding Facebook page. I would like to interject that the great thing about Operation Gelding is, like Lacey said, the first year we started with 4-H and all the 4-H kids getting out there with flyers. And then as time went on, we did a couple newspaper ads. But now with the Operation Gelding Facebook page, I literally have people all year long saying, I need to gild a stallion. what can I do to get on the waiting list? And so it has become a very simple thing to do. And to this point right now, we're right at the 20 stallions for this year that Unwanted Horse Coalition will fund for us. And so we don't have trouble getting stallions at all.
I got to tell you, most 12 or 13-year-olds don't even know what a gelding is. So that, first of all, is something that you have to think about in the horse world. The fact that our 13-year-olds do, it's kind of impressive. And you're just one of the clinics, right? Jennifer, you have the numbers I'm seeing here are in the thousands in clinics all across the country.
Right. So far, we have been able to support the gelding of over 1,500 stallions. Our number of clinics range anywhere from about 150 to 300 different clinics a year. We are hopefully going to have more clinics next year because we're extremely fortunate to have received a $100,000 grant from the DeWitt Fund of the Community Foundation for Monterey County, which is based out of California. We got that grant in September, and so we're really going to be pushing to get more folks around the country to be hosting the clinics, and we, instead of offering $50 per horse gelded, we'll be able to fund at the $100 level per horse gelded, which we think will really encourage more people to get involved. And of course, that's the primary goal, is to get these horses gelded. I will mention, we've got 89 different organizations that have hosted clinics, which is fabulous. 23 of them, like Kay and Lacey, have been repeat offenders. And so I'm hoping that we'll have more repeat offenders and have more folks that will do this on an annual basis.
What are we seeing?
Well, Go ahead.
I was just going to ask what we're seeing most of. Are we seeing people who rescued a horse that's, or are we seeing people who just can't afford to get them gelded themselves? And is there any fee if they bring it in, or are your donations covering that fee? Lacey, you want to take that?
We get a lot of rescues just in our experience, but we also have some people that just can't afford it. Sometimes we have rescues that come in it'll just be one rescue, but they'll have more than one horse. And then other times it's literally people that say, you know, I have a horse that needs to be gelded, but I've had him for a long time, and they just haven't been able to afford it, and we say, bring him on. So sometimes they're a lot older. The first year, I think it was the first year we did it, and probably the most memorable horses were a group of horses that had been rescued. And they were well-bred horses that were just, it's really sad. They were in a barn, and somebody wasn't taking care of them. And they were found standing in, you know, their own feces and hay and all kinds of things, just starved, and it was like up to their knees. And a group of really wonderful show horse people took them in, and you know, they said, we can't afford to, you know, we really can't afford to take them in, but we have to do something. So they brought them to us, and we gelded them, and then once they were gelded, they were rehabilitated fully, and then they found forever homes. So that's kind of some of our success. And then other times it's just people that have stallions they need gelded.
That's awesome. So these are kind of going on all over the country. Maybe Kay or let's go to Jennifer. Jennifer, how would somebody get involved with getting one in their area?
Mm-hmm. Really, any organization. It can be a rescue organization, it can be a 4-H group, it can be a veterinary clinic themselves that decide to host a program. And it does take a lot of effort. I do think that Lacey and Kay will be good to answer the question about the timing involved in doing a clinic, the number of volunteers you need, things like that. But if somebody's interested, they just need to contact us. More than happy to walk them through the process. We have a lot of resources on the UHC website, a page that's specific to Operation Gelding that has all of the documents that they're going to need, not only for funding, if they want to provide, want to request funding from us, but also the how to run a clinic. We put together a few new comprehensive documents for the 2017 year. Now that we've had this sort of change and expansion in the program, we wanted to provide better guidance and also provide things like sample materials, sample press releases and flyers and things like that to try to make it a little bit easier for the organizers. But I think, you know, if Kay or Lacey, you want to chime in on what's involved, actually, you guys are the ones who are really doing the hard work.
Yeah, this is Kay. I would say the toughest part might be finding a veterinarian that will literally donate the services. And we have been blessed, Lacey and I, with two veterinarians over the last 6 years that not only donate their services, but their clinics. And just very briefly, we run and gun. We start at 8 o'clock in the morning. We schedule two stallions per 30 minutes, and we just keep moving. And we have excellent volunteers. Lacey is a great vet assistant. And, you know, in the past years, we've had the vet techs that come with the veterinarians that donate their time as well, but it has to run very smoothly. We do not, and this is interesting, we do not allow the stallion owners to come back and witness what's going on. And that's in part because, as Lacey will testify, some of the stallions that come in are just, let's just say they're ready to be gilded. Their manners are not very well. They're not very well behaved.
That's very diplomatic, by the way. Very diplomatic. Well done.
Yes. And, you know, come off the trailers, we just kind of go, oh, my gosh. But we take them from the owner at the trailer. We walk them into the clinic. And there are professional people that start the process of calming them down with the first
sedate
drug, and then
yes, that dude immediately.
Okay, we want to know: have you ever had to use the dart gun? It's been that bad. That's what I need to know.
Have we ever had any crazy? Never crazy enough to use a dart gun. We've been pretty efficient in. Just as they walk in the door, somebody get them. But
Lacey, be honest now.
We've had
honest.
Some ones that are crazy.
You're talking to horse people here, so be honest, Lacey. Have there ever been ones that have gotten off the trailer that you said, "I am a little nervous right now"?
Yes, I've been a little nervous, especially. We had one time. I think he was 13, and he was not a small dude. I mean, he was very large, and you know, I think I may have been 14 at the time, you know, so I was very, very tiny. And they were like, okay, here you go. I'm like, okay, you want me to take this beast who doesn't even want to come off the trailer because you had to load a mare to get him in the trailer. So, yeah, we've had some that have been really scary. And the really scary ones are the little ones. I mean, we've had minis and we've had donkeys and those are kind of the really scary ones.
Kay, I have to ask you a question about your daughter. Has she ever had a boyfriend? Because I'd be a little nervous, actually, around Lacey, to be honest.
I have to laugh because we have a picture of Lacey. I think it was at Operation Gilding when she was 14, and she is holding a pair of testicles in her hand. Her hand is out flat, and she's looking at the camera, smiling. So, has she ever had a boyfriend? She's had a couple, but I would say this, they get a little nervous because she's a cowgirl through and through, and usually she just she has her horse at college with her, and I think that has become her boyfriend for the next
few years. You have to be honest, Kay. You have emailed the new boyfriends that picture, haven't you? Without Lacey knowing.
Well, I really don't have to because Lacey's becoming a young woman, and she realizes what she wants and doesn't mess around too long when she realizes they're just not the real deal.
I love it. I mean, I would just like for you guys to pour through the Craigslist ads over here in Phoenix. And my favorite thing to say is geld that. And then I need a t-shirt. What you guys are doing is awesome. check out the Unwanted, just go to unwantedhorsecoalition.org. That is the website you can find Jennifer and her organization at. And then also the Facebook page. Tell us again what it is. Operation Gelding, right?
Correct.
And then is that all the Operation Geldings or is that just yours, Lacey and Kay?
That is just our Facebook page. We were the lucky ones to get that. And we do have people contact us and ask us, you know, will you gild my stallion in Wyoming? And I always direct them to Jennifer because, like she said, there are clinics all over the country.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that is just awesome. It'll make me so proud. I'm so happy that this is going on. And I know we've definitely talked about some of the appointments that have happened and who to contact. So please, I know your next clinic is December 17th, right? Is it totally full?
It is.
Sorry, say that again, Lacey.
It's full right now.
It's full right now. Sometimes people call and cancel, but I think at this moment we are up to 20.
Wow, that's awesome. That's incredible. So, well, that's fantastic. We wish you guys the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about something that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is brain surgery on these awesome horses that we love so much. And, you know, they're going to have a better life with what you guys are doing. Horses that are crazy wild stallions, they don't end up in great places when they don't have a whole lot of training. And what you guys are doing are changing lives for people and for animals. So thank you so much for doing that. All of you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us on the show
Merry
today.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, you too.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
Lacey's a tough cookie. She started at age 14 or 12 or whatever.
Jeez. I love it. She's my little hero.
What motivates a young teenager to do that? And other than selflessness, you know, and knowing there's an issue out there and doing something about it. So good for her.
Well, she's in 4-H too. And you know, you get to see a whole lot of you get introduced to a lot of stuff when you're in 4-H. I remember we had some students out here that were in 4-H and what a Chili, bless his heart. When you groom him, and the little kids groom him, anybody grooms him, he drops. Right. And he's like the kid's horse. And so I always tell people, I'm like, I'm really sorry. It's like nature out here. You just get a little bit of nature every time your kids are, you know, grooming Chili. And if you stand still too long in the lesson, drops again.
Ours,
and then he starts walking and
it's a mess. I see that at grooming too. So it's not unusual.
Yeah, it's Chili. And Chili is, well, he's endowed, I guess I should say. The thing basically drags the dang ground. And it's like embarrassing.
That's why he sounds like that.
Exactly. And it's funny. The girls, the parents of the girls in 4-H are like, that's nothing. These girls have seen way worse. And all the girls not in 4-H are like, you know, their mothers are like terrible. It's just, oh my goodness. We need like a black box. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. It's just, it happens. Get a move in. It'll be fine.
I bet you Dr. Chang, who is now waiting to come on, is so happy he joined us today.
Talking about wieners, Dr. Chang.
Yeah, we're talking
wieners.
About gelding. We've been talking about gelding stallions for the last 15 minutes. And you know, you're at the AAEP convention. You're at the vet convention, right?
That's correct. I'm calling from downtown sunny Florida.
And I bet you they have whole clinics on gelding stallions down there going on right now that you could attend.
they probably do have those things, but I much prefer to listen to you guys. You're having a very spirited conversation there, I have to admit.
We cover the important topics here, Dr. Chang.
Yes, we do.
There you go.
Well, switching gears, by the way, number one, that's really cool that you're at AAEP because being at AAEP, you get to introduce your products to a bunch of veterinarians that could recommend it that maybe have never heard of it before. So cool. That's awesome that you're down there. Are you getting some good feedback?
Well, actually, we do have very good feedback with a lot of the vets, but you know, there's always that portion of the vets who don't believe in anything that comes from the plants. And I say to them, you know, most of the drugs that you use probably started off at some point in its lifespan of development in a plant, mm-hmm. you know. So, it's okay. As they say, we're trying to convert. It's almost like an evangelical meeting in here for us sometimes.
That is true. I know a lot of hard-nosed vets that would probably, but then a large group of them must just love you guys.
Oh, there is. There's some folks who have used our product line and they swear on it, as they say, on a stack of Bibles, that they get very good results. But
I think your battle's getting easier from what I know about the Qi Institute here, which is one of the largest institutes for Chinese medicine here in Ocala. There are so many vets coming mm-hmm. in. Their classes are full now, where they had to beg people, vets to come in 10 years ago. So it must be getting a little easier and vets getting a little more open-minded. Do you think that the younger ones get better?
I think so, because, you know, whether you like it or not, the alternative treatments are out there. There are more and more owners, more and more trainers, and so on, using it or aware of it. And so there's more and more interest amongst the vets about it, because you got to know something about it if you're going to be treating, you know, horses, whether you mm-hmm. like it or not. But, you know, but there's good rationale for the use of herbal medicines on horses. You know, there's
Absolutely.
Good science behind it and there's good rationale.
You know? Well, and for those of us who have used it, it works. So it obviously has good rationale. I mean, it actually works. Yeah. So it's not a joke. It's like real thing. So anyway, what we're going to talk to you about today, Dr. Chang, is preventative care for horses. And I think this is great because the weather is changing so many places. I mean, well, here it just got cold in the past week, but people are getting their first snowfall. And with that comes problems with horses. And just this weekend on Friday night, I went and fed the horses and I threw a flake of hay to a horse in our barn named Edward. And I threw the flake and he just looked at it. And then he looked at his belly and looked at the hay, pawed once or twice, and then looked at me. And so I'm like, oh, just that little bit. I'm like, he's colicking, son of a gun. So we call the vet out. She comes out. She tests him. Basically, you know, when the temperature changes, sometimes some of them just don't handle it very well. And we had a long list of laundry things that we've been doing. You know, I just bought a new shipment of hay. It's the same kind of hay, but it's a different shipment. And then the weather changes. And then maybe he had, you know, a little bit of, he's a little dehydrated, a little bit of sand, all these different things that kind of added up to a colicky horse. So talking about preventative care for horses, help me out.
Yeah, for sure. One of the toughest sort sometimes is prevention, because, you know, when you preach prevention to people, a lot of people say, well, how do I know if it actually is going to help the horse or not? Because they'll say, you know, I gave them this stuff and they didn't get sick. And then they say, well, maybe they weren't going to get sick anyway, and I just wasted some money. But preventative care, I call it insurance. Right? You may not know if it works exactly the way you want it to, but you know, it's insurance that helps prevent a lot of problems. One of the things I would stress right now, boost the immune system, because anytime you change the weather, right, what happens is that, you know, it's an extra stress that the horses will have. And when you have that extra stress, what happens is that, you know, the immune system takes a dive. When the immune system takes a dive, right, if you happen to be in a cold climate where you put all your horses together in the barn, well, guess what? One horse has a little sniffle, spreads to everybody. Every horse will get it. Next thing you know, you have horses that have run that are frothing with the mucus production. They have a cold and not happy campers. Right. So one way to help avoid this, boost the immune system. At Omega Alpha, we have the Immune Plus, which actually is a herbal extract that will help boost the immune system. Another thing that I strongly suggest for all the horses when you move them indoors, put them on a good probiotic, put them on the biotic eat. And the reason again for that is because when they were outside during the fall, et cetera, they were munching on grass. They were getting a lot of probiotics, et cetera, from the dirt. And they're also picking up a lot of bad bacteria. And if you have also raised horses that have ulcers, well, a lot of that bad bacteria gets in. When you bring them indoors, they don't have access to as much probiotics, bacteria, good or bad, as you would have outdoors. There's also, one way of trying to swing the gut back to your favor is to give them more probiotics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your gut healthy. Some of the things like the gastro effect. I mean, if you have a horse that's prone to ulcers, keep them happy with a little bit of gastro effect, right? A lot of people, when the show season is done, they stop giving all of your horses any type of supplement. And I said, no. What you do is you cut back. You don't stop altogether, because what happens is the horses are used to having a certain amount of supplements coming into them. So their metabolism is, they don't try to save as much B vitamins. The metabolism doesn't try to save as much minerals, because the metabolism is getting used to the fact that they get a daily dose and they get a lot of it. So all of a sudden, if you stop giving it to them, what happens is that the metabolism is still thinking, hey, we're going to get this stuff all the time. So it'll pop it out as if there's no tomorrow. But then, you set yourself up for other issues if you're not giving it to them. So the idea here, instead of if you normally give a full scoop of something to them, give them half a scoop, or even give them a quarter scoop, and you continue it like that when they're off the show season, right?
Mm-hmm.
The things like joint health, right? It's a big thing, right? And now I know people still exercise their horse during the winter, the show people, right? Those folks that are down here in Florida, they use them all the time. It's a year-round thing. So I'm not stressing out for them with the joint, because I know they will be on a joint maintenance program. But I'm talking about the ones who, have them in the stall, just let them run around and so on. It's a good idea. Give them something for their joints. Keep them healthy.
Yeah.
So many different things that's out there.
Absolutely. I mean, I swear by Biotic Aid. It has done some really wonderful things for several of my horses. So definitely check that out. The Healthy Horse 4-in-1 Solution. Oh my gosh. That's on my Christmas. I'm putting that on my Christmas list right now.
Now's the time you should do a detox. Nobody thinks about doing the detox. It's after show season. Do a detox, right? If you're not showing the horse, do a good detox on them, because you've built up during show season. There's a lot of cortisol, a lot of stress hormones being built up. They get all sorts of things, they get this, they get that, all that sort of stuff builds up. You do a detox, detoxify the liver. If you don't do anything else for detox, do the liver, because what happens is the liver is the key organ for detoxification. So basically, if you use our liver flush, what that will do, it speeds up the metabolism of the liver, right? It supports the liver. By support, I mean it provides a lot of antioxidant support to the liver, so that during the detoxification, that process generates a lot of free radicals. Free radicals tend to damage tissue in general. So if you have the antioxidant support, you're basically helping support the liver, helping prevent some of that damage, right? But it's a good idea, because after detoxification, you have an organ that works a lot. It's a lot more efficient. So when comes time for show season to start the next year, you have a horse that has a healthy liver that can handle a lot of the stresses that's thrown at it.
And I'm looking at it right now, and it's not, gosh, like you said, for insurance, this is not that expensive. You're looking at 32 ounces. It's $40. You spend that, you give it to your horse, and then you've got a healthy horse next spring. I think that's a fantastic idea. And it's funny how when you said detox, in my head I go, if you do nothing else, do the liver. I've heard you say that so many times. That's awesome. You do nothing else. Do the liver.
I apologize for her impression, though, Dr. Chang. I apologize for that.
He loved it. I'm amazing.
That's right. She is.
So one of these, one of the 32 ounces is good for one horse to go through and do the full cleanse?
Right. I would, yeah, 1,000 chance will do the full one horse for the full cleanse. Don't be afraid about dosage, because I know a lot of people worry about dosage. And I always say to everybody, anything herbal, right, that's sold to the general public, not bought through your vet, chances, the safety margins are very, very, very high. Because when you go through your vet, what happens is the vet then tells you, you're doing it under vet supervision. So the vets will their product is usually a little bit on the stronger side. But a retail product, the safety margins are huge, because we won't touch anything that has even smelled of where dosage is an issue, right? We stay away from anything that's really dangerous. So don't be afraid to dose the horse sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you need to give them a double dose, because I know horses that have high liver enzymes, for example. I'm straying a little bit, but I know if you go see a vet for a horse with high liver enzyme levels, the only thing he can do, because it's nothing that in a pharmaceutical world, the only thing they say is go put them out in the pasture and it'll sort itself out. Maybe 3-4 months later on, it sorts itself out. If you give them a liver flush, or the more enlightened ones will use the liver flush, some vets will know about things like the milk thistle, which we have both. You know, those are the go-to products to help actually bring down liver enzyme level. You can actually see that. You can test that and see that. So you know it's working.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, Dr. Chang, as always, we love having you on. I know you're super busy and you've got all sorts of people probably standing at your table right now wanting some information. So AAEP, that's cool.
I picked the quiet corner to talk to you guys. Otherwise, it gets noisy in here.
I gotcha. Anyway. Well, just to let everybody know, there is an equine webinar coming up. Omega Alpha is always committed to helping you learn more about their equine products by offering those free teleseminars and web classrooms. They're held the last Monday of the month, 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. So the next webinar, we're way ahead of time, is January 25th. Is it January? Or should there be one in December? Maybe taking off Christmas time.
No, we take Christmas off.
Ah, fine.
Joanne takes Christmas off. I got to talk to her about that, you know?
Okay, Scrooge.
I know, right? If you want to register, 1-800-651-3172, and you can get your, ask Joanne to get your web classroom and address and entry code, or go to the Omega Alpha website for all the information you need to sign up or learn more about the products. It's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chang. Have fun at the convention.
All, have a good Christmas. If I don't talk to you guys between now and Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Say hi to all our vet friends for us, because I know they have great parties, and I'm sure you don't go to any of them. So
don't have too much fun.
No. Can't have too much fun here.
It's going to be passing out liver flesh to the vets in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. They'll need it in the morning.
That's right.
Thank you, Dr. Chang. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
I just gave him a good idea.
There you go.
There you go. You don't think it works? Drink this.
We forget about the fact that they have canine products, and we've been giving Glory one called a Kidney Tone, because she's got that old lady sort of leaky thing going on that the females get. That shows you what a horse person I am.
Mares get.
So she's been having that, and since we started using it, we haven't had the issue. So we'll be giving that to her for a good long time, I think.
Because I need to put Morse money into Lucky, I should probably get some of that for him too.
Do males get that?
I don't know, but
I didn't know Lucky's having.
He needs all the help he can get. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Lucky. Yeah, especially if you want to keep him. Your husband has been having second thoughts about that, apparently. But we know who wins in that family, don't we?
He's laying at my feet right now.
All right, so it is that time. And now, coming to us live from Horse Nation, our own Rockin' Elf, Smiley Wiley, with the Wacky World of Horses. And That's right. She is here, apparently, with a big announcement for us this morning. Hi, Leslie, our little elf.
Hey. I love my new intro music.
Do you? You like being a smiley elf? It's perfect.
I do.
You're about the right size. You know, and all of that. Hey, Leslie, now you wrote to me that you have a big old bomb to drop on us today and the big news in the land, oh, Leslie. And I posted that on Facebook on our auditor page. And you want to hear some of the guesses of what that is? First, we have baby, because everybody goes to pregnant first. The second was pony baby, which is a possibility. And it then Ken chimed in with sounds like her husband could have used Operation Gelding. moving to Great Britain, Misty said. That was a good one. A Lady Martha has officially adopted her. Well, that'd be fun, too. buying a home in Ocala, Florida, and you got another horse. So we have her all over the place there, and... all right.
These are all fabulous. These are all fabulous ideas, but they're all wrong.
They're all wrong. Well, that means you're not pregnant.
Me? No. And Princess is not pregnant either.
Nobody's pregnant.
I was trying to figure out ponies around here.
Well,
the timing that you bought her, because I was like, it's not Leslie pregnant, because any girls that are pregnant don't go, I have a big bomb to drop. Okay, because, but I want you to know what you've done to Glenn this morning. You've wrecked him.
That's right.
He's thought of nothing else than what you're...
We haven't announced this, but let me tell you why you've traumatized us. Because Victoria, who's with us on Wednesdays from Horse and Country TV, did announce last week that she's pregnant and will be leaving the show starting January. So...
so sad.
So that was very sad for us.
I would never do that to you guys. You're stuck with me forever.
Yay! Okay, now I don't care what your announcement is. I really do. I'm just kidding.
Well, okay. So the reason why I wanted to make this announcement on the show is because it's really you guys' fault that this is happening, this new development in my life. I don't know if you remember... two or three weeks ago, and you guys, I don't know, I don't even know half the things we talk about in the show. Like, maybe I've had coffee, maybe I haven't. Like, it just goes by in a blur. There's no telling what comes out of my mouth, and
that's how I live in the show, too.
Yeah, that's pretty much how Jamie is every day.
Well, a couple, 3 weeks ago, you guys were like, I don't know how this even came up, but you guys were like,
no, you didn't.
Started kicking this ball around about, like,
you didn't.
Me riding in the Mongol Derby.
You didn't.
Yeah.
Glenn, hush.
So exciting.
So, I don't know. It was a slow news day. I was kind of bored. I was like, you know what? I think I might just apply to ride in that Mongol Derby just to refresh readers.
Oh, my God.
This is a 650-mile race across Mongolia, kind of recreating the Genghis Khan's postal system, like sort of Mongolia's Pony Express. You are riding semi-feral horses the whole time. Only about half the people finish every year. There's 400 or 500 applicants. You know, so I thought, I've not got anything better to do today, so I'm going to just throw my name in the hat, in the ring here, whatever.
And
I got selected to be as one of the 40 competitors for the 2017 race.
Woo-hoo! Oh my God!
We're going to Mongolia, guys!
This is so fantastically, amazingly awesome. Unreal. Unreal. So, just because we were just talking about it, you're like, heck, I'll give it a go, and not thinking it would happen. And then, do you understand, first of all, do you understand all the things that are going on? I had a very good friend ride in the Mongol Derby 2 years ago, and she practiced eating horrible food. They went to streetcars and trained their digestive systems to be able to eat goat. Like, do you understand what the whole thing is here?
No, I do not. I am.
You know, everybody gets sick, violently ill at one point during these 8 days of torture.
It's a weight loss program. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, this thing sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. One, there is no path. There's no like trail or road that you were following. Like they give you 25 GPS checkpoints and they're like, go find them. Good luck. And guys, I get lost like in my neighborhood sometimes, like trying to get to the grocery store. Like this seems precarious. Yeah, I didn't really look into the detail. I mean, we've written about it before. I've, you know, watched videos about it before. But, you know, the sort of fine print, you know, didn't really. This All right.
is. I'm going to give you her number because it's awesome. But the expense and I think the money that it costs and the expense and the crazy food, I don't think anything compares to you crossing that finish line and having that adventure. It's something you'll never lose. You will have that forever. I'm a big fan of spending your money traveling. You go, girl.
We've had the winners on the last, since we started the show, right, Jamie? We've had the winners on almost every year. So I will find those links and you can go to listen to those interviews.
Well, maybe you'll have a loser on next year. There's a first.
Did you get Lady Martha to go along? Has she signed up
too?
Oh,
God, please.
You know, she's already done Mongolia. She has been there, done that. She, you know, she did it side saddle. Not the Mongol Derby, but she did ride across Mongolia in a side saddle.
Wait a minute. Screw Lady Martha. You know who should be going along in this trip, right, is Jamie.
I'm raising my hand.
Jamie, come with me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, we could have like an alliance.
That whole vegan thing, forget that.
I can eat yak milk, so I'll be fine. Oh my gosh, Leslie, I would do that with you in a split second. How fun would that be? Oh,
that might go against your other announcement, though. We just did.
Yeah.
And you guys, I'm also pregnant. Woohoo! So when does this start? When does it happen?
It happens in August of next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've got a lot of time to
fundraise,
start working out, learn some survival skills, basic survival skills, watch a bunch of, you know, like, I feel like if I just make sure I've watched like all the Dothraki scenes in Game of Thrones, like I think I'll be golden.
No, what you need to be watching is the show. What's the Netflix show about the? I'll think of it.
Jennifer, well, Bear Grylls will teach you how to drink your own urine, so you need to watch that one for sure.
Marco Polo. You need to be watching Marco Polo because it's all about his time in Mongolia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm not going to be drinking any pee. So here's one reason why they should. Here's one reason. Reason number one why they don't. They have no idea what's coming at them. These Mongol Derby folks. So during my interview, they're like,
"Did they actually?"
Like
call
I said,
you?
I haven't read the fine print at this point. And they're like, "So you can only take 11.2 pounds worth of gear with you." And I said a lot. This actually comes out of my mouth. These are the wheels of Leslie Wiley's brain turning and then just unfiltered coming out. "I wonder how much a box of wine weighs." Like I say this aloud during my interview. And they still picked me. They're like, "Let's see what happens to this desperate housewife." See how this goes down.
You know
flames.
What I'm thinking out loud is, God, this is going to be good for our show for the next eight months. That's what I'm
doing. So happy. I'm so happy.
You made my day, Leslie.
I never in my wildest dreams imagined it could be this good.
What we need to find is one of our brave listeners to go with you. Or have they already picked a 40?
What's that?
We need to find...
I think they've already picked. I think I was one of the last ones to slide in under the wire.
So Do you have any friends that are doing this with you? Are you just, you're just like on an island. Are you just going?
Oh, I'm just going.
Oh, you know what we're going to do? Ideas are flowing now. So what we're going to do is we're going to, because these are people are announced ahead of time, we're going to get a bunch of them on your segment and we'll talk to you guys together about your upcoming adventure. And then you'll get to meet some people.
No, we don't want her to know everybody and know what she's supposed to do. Come on.
You don't have any friends in the Mongol Derby.
Well, last year, you know what happened last year? Three people came across together. Wine. Three people came across. You're not going to be drinking any wine. You're going to be drinking fermented yak's milk. That's what you're going to be drinking.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know what, Ricky Bobby?
I've got one of those. You know, I've got one of those.
First loser.
I've got one of those. Those. What are they called? Wine racks, you know, where this like the boob, it's like a bra, but you can fill it with wine and it has like a little spigot that comes out of it.
That's how you can get your wine through without being the 11 pounds.
Mm-hmm. I got tricks up my sleeve, tricks on tricks. But let me tell you about how I broke this to my husband, my husband's response. So like, you know, I just like sort of, I was like, you know, like talking about my, you know, what'd you do today? Well, I got accepted into this 650-mile horse race across Mongolia. And he's like, what?
You didn't blame me,
and
did
so
you?
He's like, he gets on the website, which I haven't really actually looked too hard at the website yet. And he scrolls down, and like I said about the fine print, he scrolls down to the bottom, like sort of the very bottom disclaimer zone, you know, and it said, this is literally what it says, and he starts reading it aloud. Warning, you may have guessed, but these are genuinely dangerous things to do. The website is written in a lighthearted fashion, but you cannot overestimate the risks involved in taking part in this adventure. Your chances of being seriously injured or dying as a result of taking part are high. Individuals who have taken part in the past have been permanently disfigured, seriously disabled, or lost their life. These are not holidays. These are adventures. And so by their very nature, extremely risky. You really are putting both your health and life at risk. So, and I'm like, nah, babe, where are you reading that?
Here it is right on the front page.
Like, on the homepage. I'm like, oh, okay.
Now what it does also say is you are really putting your health and life at risk, but that is the whole point. So I get it.
It's an adventure.
Okay. We need, Ken so just happy. Brought this up, and we need to figure this out before you leave, is a satellite phone. So at least half a pound of your packing is going to be a satellite phone so you can talk to us in the mornings from your pony at a dead run through the marshes of Mongolia.
You know, my girlfriend that did it. Oh, we should get them on together because she's young and fun and cute and an inventor too. So she was on and she just continues her life in a daily fashion. You know, I see her at horse trials and I know what she's done, and what she has done and what you're going to do is an adventure of a lifetime and sheer badassness. Okay, because she finished. And I look at her just interacting with people on a daily basis. And I look at, I'm like, do these people have any idea what you did? Any idea? And she's like, no people. She's like, people kind of know I did something, but they don't know what it is exactly. You have to educate the people around you. You have to wear a t-shirt that says, I am better than you because I did this.
I see a whole new line of Leslie t-shirts coming up. That's what I see. Mongol Derby Leslie t-shirts.
I am better than you, and my t-shirt is geld that shit. So we need those two t-shirts coming out of this show.
All right, well, nobody guessed that. When we joked about that a couple of weeks ago, I thought it was, I really was thinking it was a joke. Although we really did kind of see you as the one of all of us to do it, because, you know, the one that values their limbs the least. And there you go. So look,
the one who likes a good story the most.
Yes. Well, you guys dream the dream, and I'm I'm going to turn that dream into reality.
This is going to be radio gold. I need new bumpers.
I'm trying.
This is going to be so good for the show. Thank you, Leslie.
Okay. Just so you know, they are still accepting applications for the 2017 Mongol Derby.
One of our listeners. We need one of our listeners to join up. And the only reason I'm writing you out there, Jamie, is because you are planning on adopting a baby here. It probably wouldn't be a good idea to risk life and limb right after you've adopted a child.
So. Yeah, they don't really let you do things like that. So the first question is, why do you want to do the Derby? And then they go on to say, the Derby can be a bit shite. Long hours riding with no guarantee of a bed or a meal at the end of each day. Why do you want to do it? What would you answer?
Did they call you to interview you?
Yeah, totally.
What did they ask? Tell us what, are you allowed to say?
What did they ask? They asked me about my writing background. They asked me, why I wanted to do it. I don't know, Glenn and Jamie,
They made me.
They made me.
They dared me.
And just it was the guy interviewing me was someone who was a past competitor and now works on the race each year as part of search and rescue, and so he told me a little bit about his experience and and I really did not. I mean, out of 400 and applicants, I just really didn't think that they would.
Well, it's a lot of good publicity for them too, from your blog to us. It's a lot of good publicity. And Kristen, who of course works with you, just said the ultimate listener meetup on the trail in freaking Mongolia. So, here we go.
Yes. Yes.
I wish somebody should I would love to partner up with a listener. If anyone out there feels inspired to apply, I mean, I might share my box wine with you.
Ride the Mongol. Put this on the Facebook page.
I'll bring right
applications. Ride the Mongol Derby with Leslie Wiley. August 6th, you will have to be there for pre-race training in Ulaanbaatar. And then you find out the rules. And then you pre-race train on the step, learning navigation, survival skills, and meet the Mongolian horses. 9th, it starts. The final race day is the 18th. And then you return to Ulaanbaatar for the finish party on August 19th. That's what you're in for.
All right, so Leslie, we have to come up with a list here for the future of things you're going to have to practice. Do you have a local Mustang adoption center?
No.
Okay, well, you need to find one around and just go in and say, I pick that one, throw your saddle on, and go ride. That's how you practice that. The other thing you're going to need to practice is going to the bathroom out in the middle of nowhere with nothing around. You'll need to practice.
She's got that one.
I got that. Every horse girl's got that.
I'm not sure you're allowed to carry toilet paper because I'm not even sure that's going to be allowed. That'll take up weight. And you got to have room for your wine. So that's not going to happen. And then drinking yak's milk, which we could probably have shipped in and it'll probably be rotten by the time it gets here. So it's perfect.
I thought it was fermented mare's milk. Is that the thing?
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fermented mare's milk.
Yak's mare's milk is what it is.
Well, my mare is foaling. Her due date is January 15th. If you want me to milk some of her milk and just let it get rotten and send it to you.
I bet I could turn it into some sort of white Russian.
You know what I think is going to be the biggest problem on this trip is her detoxing. It's going to be the biggest problem on this trip.
It is going to be a detox. She's like, can you sneak marijuana into your bra? Just to make the pain go away.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Yeah,
I'm
me
so
too.
Happy.
I'm very happy. Yes. Very happy. Oh, we're happy for you, not because this is going to be wonderful for us.
Yeah, I'm a little scared, but I think I'm also a little bit still in. I mean, I survived
Lady Martha.
Lady Martha, I can do anything, right?
You know what? Jamie's right, though. I've been listening to a podcast about the Appalachian Trail, and he interviews people who have finished in the six-month nightmare that they go through and, you know, having their feet bleeding and, you know, everything else they have to deal with. So you're going to have that story. I mean, this is really the horseback rider's version of hiking the Appalachian Trail, right?
This is, like, bigger than that. This is bigger than that.
Yeah, I'm going to the dark night of the soul. I don't even know what that looks like.
Well, the scenery apparently is very varied in your 9 days on the horse. But the nice part is we'll all be able to follow you because you have a little GPS tracker. It's going to be so much fun. And then we'll get you a satellite phone. We have to figure that out if you're allowed. Helmet cam.
Helmet
cam. So happy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll work for a day until you run out of power and there's nobody with electricity for 4,000 miles.
Oh, you're going to have the best amazing adventure. I'm so excited for you. Just remember, in the words of the immortal Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last.
There's my new spirit animal.
Well, this is wonderful news. We're so excited.
I love you so much.
Listeners are really getting so excited about it already. So this
next radiothon.
Thanks for getting the ball rolling. Thanks.
We are here to help.
We're getting this ball rolling, guys.
Have you done an article yet on Horse Nation? Has the announcement been made?
No, I'm announcing it right here and now. Yeah.
Well, I feel privileged. This is so exciting. And, we'll be talking about this a lot, I suspect, over the next... I expect lots of articles about your training.
Training. Training. Get right on that.
Who wants to bet right now that she does nothing to prepare for this? Shows up. Send you part of your training, though, over the next week. Do not let your husband listen to this. Is the interviews we did with the winners. So I will send you links to those. Yeah. And then you should listen to those, though, because.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can give you the phone number of a fellow eventer that has also completed this.
No, we need to get the fellow eventer on next week to talk to.
Okay. Yeah. I'll work on it.
Get that.
I need some pro tips.
And now, Ken, as Ken says in the auditor room, Leslie is Spartacus. You truly are Spartacus.
You are Spartacus.
You are Spartacus, Leslie. You're Spartacus.
That's the other shirt. I am better than you.
I don't think I'm better than anyone, but I might
you
be
will
Spartacus.
Be.
You will be.
You will be better than all of us. After this is over,
the
it's
fact
cool.
that you
I
applied you and raised it. The money and trained, and by the way, we will help you raise the money because it's like $14 million to go.
Yeah, so. It is. Yeah, but it's part of it's for a good cause. You get to pick a charity to benefit.
Oh,
and
do you?
There's another official charity called Cool Earth, and so
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
that's cool. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be there to help, and I know your readers will definitely help support you. And before we run totally out of time. We have something else to congratulate you about. Not as exciting as this, but pretty exciting if you're a journalist. You got a byline in the frickin' Washington Post.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, girl. That's big time.
Yeah, that was really exciting. I never did see it. Very sadly, I mean, it came out of a real tragedy. Gatlinburg, it took a real hit from some wildfires last week. I would like to say I drove past Dollywood. I know you guys have been, I know that's probably been weighing on your hearts. Dollywood is fine.
Okay.
It's just fine. So I spent a couple days last week in Gatlinburg covering the story for the Washington Post.
That's amazing.
My byline's on the front page. It was a front page story, but I can't even find a copy of the
newspaper.
I don't know where do you buy a newspaper anymore? It's not like your hometown newspaper. I don't know. Print media is dead, but
you can probably have them send one to you. I'm sure they'd be happy to do that.
Sure. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's exciting for a reporter. That's like big time. and the article was excellent too, by the way.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I have to send.
Can I ask you how the fires? Have they got them under control? Has it rained enough? What's the story?
They have. Yeah, I think they're under control for the most part. We've, after months of no rain, very little rain, we finally have gotten a lot of rain this past week. Just in time. But yeah, I mean, it was, unfortunately, wasn't quite soon enough to, you know, save. Oh, I think, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of structures damaged. I think there's been 14 casualties. Really sad. One of the saddest parts is while downtown Gatlinburg is pretty much largely intact, it's a lot of the surrounding neighborhoods, and a lot of them are, you know, lower income families and people, you know, that are already struggling and now they've, you know, kind of getting kicked while they're down. So, but they don't call it the volunteer state for nothing. And Tennessee and, you know, the whole country is really pitched into with relief, you know, disaster relief aid and, support. So that was pretty neat to see.
Well, I'm glad that they've at least got it under control, and amazing work. It was a great article about a very sad situation, but you did a good job writing it. And now you need to go to the Washington Post and propose a whole series of articles about your training for the Mongol Derby.
Perhaps. No, I'm giving Horses in the Morning and Horse Nation the exclusive. Yep.
Damn. Yeah. Good shape. Thank you, Leslie, and congratulations, I think it's congratulations to you.
I think so.
I honestly did not expect, nobody expected this to be the news.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so excited.
Me neither.
We're all excited that you're doing it. We're not. Good job.
We'll keep you posted. You guys have a great week.
All right. Thank you, Leslie.
Too.
Congratulations.
Bye.
Bye. We so got to get your friend on with her next week and tell your friend to scare the crap out of her.
I love it.
That's what
I love it.
Do.
I'm so excited.
Were you expecting that? That's not what I was expecting.
No, I could never have guessed that. It just makes me so happy. My day is made.
Well, before we go, I just do have a clarification. Claire from Omega Alpha said that the next seminar, let's clarify what we said earlier, the next seminar is January the 30th of 2017 on arthritis and pain management. So that it'll be on January the 30th. So we'll talk about that as we get a little closer, but I just wanted to clarify that. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this Monday. And we will be back tomorrow. It is, what is tomorrow?
Tuesday.
I'm looking at what it's jumping day. Emily will be here. So it's jumping
cool.
day tomorrow. And then Mary Kitzmiller will be here a little later in the week. But Jamie, you're here all 3 days. So we'll have a full week of programming for you this week. And thank you a bunch. Now I have to absorb Leslie's knowledge. My brain is going overtime.
I know. Sit down. Have a drink. Get some box wine.
So
you'll be
exciting.
Fine.
I don't think she has any clue.
Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Geld that sh-
Stop.
Stop.
You said that word.
I know. I meant to.
Glad I've never said it on the air.
You're the one who said it 5 times.